The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill on Monday, April the 16th. Andy Holding taking a look at two cards for you this afternoon. We've got seven races for you at Leopardstown, in which the going is currently heavy, soft in places. And we've also got evening action from Tramore over the jumps as well, where seven races greet us there, although we only are going to be covering the back end of the card from the 5:50 onwards because of the continuity in the show on the radio this afternoon. We're going to take a look at Leopardstown first. The best race on that card, of course, comes up in the shape of the Heritage Stakes at 5 o'clock. But we begin with an intriguing mile and a quarter maiden, which once again, I know, Brian, sets punters a bit of a poser here. Now, we know that Aidan likes to run quite a few of these horses in middle distance maidens early on in the season, just basically to get them out and to see where they were at. But it does cause a little bit of a headache for the punters, not really knowing which ones to side with. Obviously, the market is going to tell us a certain amount of the story, but not entirely. As we saw on Saturday, the outside of the three ended up winning the Ballysacks in the shape of Nelson. So very, very tricky to get your head around. Of the ones that I saw run last year, I'd probably just favour Magic Wand, filly by Galileo, who caught the eye in a race won by Dermot Wells Contingent. The second Algebra has gone on to win you the night down in Dundalk. And I thought she shaped with a deal of promise, staying on for mid-division to finish a never nearer seventh. Not knocked about by Shami Heffernan either. I think this step-up in trip, being by Galileo, of course, should suit her. Whether she's got the wherewithal to handle the really heavy ground and she's going to be fit enough to do herself justice first time out, time will tell. But I think she's the most promising, or certainly one of the most promising horses in this race. Obviously, Broadway and Athena from the same stable are definitely worth a look as well. And there's been a bit of money for Jaeger this morning, a filly by Fascinet Rock from the Dermot Wells stable. So quite an intriguing opener there. Probably small stakes advised, but Magic Wand is the choice regardless in the opener. On to the second race then, 4 o'clock. And I really do fancy Aidan O'Brien to win this race in the shape of Gardens of Babylon, who created a really favourable impression first time out at Leopardstown towards the back end of last season, finishing behind the very warm order stable companion James Cook. Little thing was expected of this colt by Camelot, as he was a 20-1 shot, but he ran much better than that. And I do like the way he finished off his race from the back of the field. Interestingly, that Shami Heffernan takes the ride this afternoon. And he shouldn't have too many problems with the conditions either, because it was pretty testing towards the back end of last season in the autumn, as we know. Aidan's horses are particularly well forward, given the results so far this season. He had a really good day at Leopardstown on Saturday. And there's a good deal of confidence behind his chances here today. So really nice type here. Gardens of Babylon should, if he's going to progress down the lines we think he will, take that 4 o'clock pretty comfortably. On to the first of the very competitive handicaps here then at Leopardstown this afternoon. Comes in the shape of this mile one, 0-80 handicap over at 4:30. Not much to go on here. Quite a few of these have yet to have a run this season. So I'm going to take a chance that Dermot Weld has got Ace of Diamonds in a similar place to what he did this time last year. Of course, Ace of Diamonds won this race 12 months ago in the hands of Pat Smullen. And you'll notice as well that this race is a furlong shorter than last year. Of course, it was a mile and a quarter, but it didn't stop this horse winning in pretty ready fashion in the end. And the fact that he managed to win first time out gives me hope that he does go well fresh. The visor's gone on for the first time as well, just to sharpen his ideas up a bit, because he rather lost his way towards the back end, albeit he was in much, much deeper company than what he faces this afternoon. So Ace of Diamonds, I wouldn't say a confident choice, but usually horses are fairly cyclical, and Dermot Wells also in good form. So hopefully he'll go well there in that particular contest. Right, on then to the 5 o'clock. I would say quite a strong choice here. I do quite like this race. I'm hopeful that all eight runners will go to pace, because I thought the prices available for Pincheck this morning around about 8-9-1 looked very favourable. He was quietly fancied to run a big race first time off the shelf in the Irish Lincoln this year. And although he did, he finished fourth of the 20 runners. he just left the impression with me that he just needed the run that day. He was the last horse off the bridle. I thought he was going to win, I must admit, going down at the furlong pole, but he's run rather flattened out, and he ended up going on the one pace to finish fourth behind the ready winner in the end on the go again. Now, I do think he'll come on quite considerably from that run. He's a big kind of stuffy type, and he's always left the impression to me that he'll definitely do better as a 4 and 5 year old, even though he had a very good season last year, winning 3 races, of course. Ground won't be a problem for him. He's a big, strong unit. And even though one or two of these have got, if you like, better overall form and their ratings suggest they've got a bit in hand, I do think Pinchek is going to outrun his odds here this morning. And as I say, if you can get a nice each-way price about him, I'll be pretty sure, considering he's won at the track as well last year, that this horse will be there or thereabouts with that run under his belt. On to the 5:35 then. 7 furlong maiden for the fillies. I'd certainly look to get against Shariva here, who ran in an extraordinarily bad maiden down in Cork the other day. It didn't look a particularly strong one on paper. The favourite bombed out, and it in the end went the way of a 50-1 shot, telling you we all need to know about that form. The sectionals were absolutely desperate. I'd be very surprised if Shariva, who's a very unprepossessing horse from the Weld stable, is good enough to win this. The one I really do like here is Willie McCreary's Tammy Wynette, who shaped with a massive amount of encouragement first time out at Dundalk. Now, that was back in September. Obviously, she's been put away for the three-yard campaign. Hopefully, that will bear fruit. She's a real tall, lengthy filly by Tammy is. And I like the way she went through that contest. She certainly looked the best horse on paper. And it's interesting that William McCreary has already won with a nice filly, similar type, called So Long Marianne the other day, landing a bit of a gamble. They also teamed up to win with Bloomfield the other day, William McCreary. So I'll be quite confident with the yard in good form. His filly's going well. That Tammy Wynette can certainly build upon that performance first time out and be good enough for the opposition there in the 5:35. On to the 6:05 then, and one of my strongest votes of confidence here would be for Sebastiano Ricci from the informed Joseph O'Brien stable. Now, this horse had a really productive year last year, albeit only won 1 in 11, but his only victory came down on bottomless ground at Roscommon, lending to the theory that this horse will handle the conditions well enough this afternoon. He certainly did first time up, when he was an eye-catching fifth in a much better race than this down in Nace, won by Dianthus, of course, was seen good enough to run in the listed race for fillies here on Saturday. And I do know that the connections of the second London Icon think he's a particularly well-handicapped horse. So the fact that this horse got within hailing distance of them, considering he was a long way behind at halfway, suggests that he's going to have quite a productive year, this gelding by Luke de Vega. As I said, ground not a problem, draw should be fine. And even though he's got top weight here, he's got a bundle of class, and hopefully he can prove equal to the task there in the 6:05. On to the final race. And Dermot Well looks as though he's got a decent chance of landing a winner or two here this afternoon. I thought shaped okay first time out for the Master of Rosewell at Navan the other day. It was a race that was run in a really strong gallop. Inscribe was very well fancied from the Gerline stable. In the end, it went the way of wide margin winner Warnock, who was obviously fit enough to do himself justice after a little bit of a layoff. The market certainly told you he was going to. But I thought, plugged on okay. Certainly suggests that he's trained on from 3 to 4. He's quite a nice horse, actually, by Say You Think. And hopefully this drop back in trip to 7 furlongs shouldn't be too much of an inconvenience. I'd be more inclined to go with a horse who's got a run under his belt rather than mucking around with distances. I do like Ben Cohen. He's been a real revelation throughout the winter on the all-weather at Dundalk, and he takes the ride. So quite a positive vote there for So You Think, round about 5-6 to 1 this morning. Right then, over to Tremor, and a decent little jump card here. We're only going to cover in the last 5 races, so straight on to the 5:50, 2-mile handicap. Best bet of the day, it runs here in the shape of Little Stick of Rhubarb from the Adrian McGuire stable. Now, Adrian was torn with the idea of packing the game up perhaps a year or two ago, but he's decided to crack on, and his son, Finny McGuire, that's probably been one of the reasons why he's been keeping going. And the team, or the duo, teamed up the other day, Danny Cork, to really seriously good effect with this mare by Westerner, who absolutely bolted up in a similar handicap to this. She was dropped out the back door by Finney, made rapid headway on the bridle all the way around the top bend into the home straight, and then she quickened on demand to win with any amount in hand. Bid distances back to the third and fourth. Time figure was a sensational one. And the fact that she came from so way far back at Cork, which is often a track which favours front runners, tells me that this horse is in rattling good form. Now, I know she's obviously got to duplicate that form on a flat right-handed track to an up and hill down Dale track here today at Tremor, but she has run here 3 times, which is encouraging, and she's run really well on 2 of those 3 occasions. So it's not as if she hasn't been around today's track. She's a bit skinny in the market, I admit that, around about 7 or 4, but hopefully her class and her qualities will come through, and I really do strongly fancy Little Stick of Rhubarb in the opening race we're going to be covering at Tramore tonight. On to the 6:20 then, desperately difficult race here to get your head around a bunch of horses who find winning difficult, but I'd probably go with Cotton Vale here from the inform, well, say inform, but track specialist, Ewan Doyle. This is his local track and a lot of his horses do run well here. So even though this horse hasn't run for the thick end of 5 months, I'd still give him half a look in a race where it certainly won't take a lot of winning. I noticed on his last start, he finished a creditable 6 in quite a hot handicap down in Fairy House, and that form has worked out really well with the likes of Good Time Milan, who finished in behind him that day, going on to win at least 2 or 3 times subsequently. He's also got form around the track as well, and he also finished 3rd to Pullman's Hill in a decent handicap at Dan Patrick back in October, and we certainly know what Pullman's Hill has done. He's improved around about £30 or £40 from the Gordon Elliott stable. So even though he's been off for 152 days, hopefully Ewan's got him fit enough to do himself justice, because he's certainly got some of the best form coming into this race. So Cotton Vale the choice there. On to the 6:50. Nasty race here. Again, very, very tricky. I'd basically just want to be going with an in-form horse that's got course and distance form. So Shankly's Dawn is the one who fits the profile here from the Philip Rothwell stable. She's a mare that certainly doesn't win very often. She did manage to win a point-to-point back in the day, but her first win under rules came at Dan Patrick last time out after a series of frustrating efforts. And she did it quite well, I thought, even though she only won by a short margin. She came from a long, long way back in the hands of Adam Short to win or just get up on the line on the long climb to the hill. And that certainly suggests to me that she's in reasonably good enough order. She's been placed 3 times here in her 5 visits to this right-handed tight track. And we know she handles the ground. So in a race, like I say, where I don't want to overcomplicate matters, I'll go with Shankly's Dawn, perhaps to go back-to-back there in that 6:50. Right then, on to the Hunter Chase then at 7:20. I don't know much about these, so I'm just going to play with a straight bat on a horse who I did see run the last day down in Cork. And that came in the shape of Max Legend from the Gerard Keeler stable. This horse travelled supremely strongly in that race, eventually won by Oscar Contender. And this horse only just got cut out on the running, but they were a long, long way ahead of the rest. And the ground was absolutely bottomless, so conditions here this afternoon at Tramore shouldn't necessarily inconvenience this horse, who, of course, won a point-to-point under similar conditions the time before. Obviously, the horse is in great nick, and with its reliability factor, certainly higher than quite a few of these others in this race, including the second favourite, then I'd expect this 10-year-old to justify favouritism there in the penultimate contest. On to the final race, and it once again revolves around Messrs Mullins and Elliott. Now, both of their two representatives here come from very different backgrounds. Doral's Pergy managed to win a point-to-point back in February last year, making all the running doing it quite easily. And I'm not sure why this horse hasn't run subsequently. Perhaps he's just been a little bit of a slow burner. But he bet a horse called Show What's the Rush, who I've got a little bit of time for. He's won a handicap at Fairy House this season. So perhaps this horse could be good enough to win a race of this nature. I certainly give Dory Darlis a shout here from the Gordon Elliott stable. He travelled like the best horse in the race at Downroll 2 starts ago, but it was just slightly disconcerting the fact this horse cut out so badly. Now, I went back and watched the video this morning. Now, the one thing I would say is he raced quite keenly that day, and he didn't really give himself any chance of getting home. And I've noticed that the time before and after at Clonmel when he fell, he made the run-in and he was quite keen again. So hopefully Nina Carberry can just settle this horse and get him to drop his head, because he's certainly got all the ability in the world if albeit he's a slightly tricky customer. So those are the two to concentrate on here. It all really depends whether Nini Carberry can settle Dury Darlis or whether, of course, Durrell's Pergy is up to scratch here. The market's certainly going in favour of the Willie Mullins trained horse here, but I'd probably go with Dury Darlis. I'll give him one more chance to justify that victory in a point-to-point last year. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again tomorrow. We're going to be taking a look at an 8-race programme at Fairy House over the jumps beginning at 4:05. So until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.